Praise God. Praise God. I got this message this morning, 2-3 months ago. When God gave me this message, which I believe it's a message from God, when God gave it to me, he knew everyone that was going to be here today. He knew who was not going to be here. Some of them that are not here are because of disobedience, but you are here. So you are responsible. What the Holy Spirit speaks today, you are responsible for taking it and applying it to your life. Amen. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. It started when, as I said a week or so ago, this year has not gone how I planned it. I was expecting great things this year, and needless to say, as some of you have experienced, things have not, it's not been such a good year in a lot of ways for some people. You know, there's good stuff, but we are not seeing, I'm not seeing in my life what I had expected to see by now. And so when I was praying and talking to God about this a few months ago, as I said, he gave me this message, and I had some questions and needed some direction and things like that. And so he told me, you know, I believe this is what I'm going to do. And so that's why September we have designated 30 days of prayer focus. And it came from this idea. And so in the beginning it was just, you know I'm supposed to be doing this. So I figured, well, why not bring the rest of you along with me? And give you an opportunity. Because you know what that song we just sang? That is a prophetic song. That's not just another song. Amen. Some of you are getting a hold of it. Some of you are, it's getting in your spirit. Some of you are you're going to be in some of this message this morning. So I just encourage you that if you find your place in places you should not be, that you will do what it takes to get where you need to be. Because the revival is coming. It's coming. You know, we this summer, you know, you look at attendance around here and the attendance looks stinky. But you know what? It does not bother me. In the past, it bothered me. It does not bother me. Because there's something. There's something under the surface. There's something that is starting to rumble. And I know as we do what we're supposed to do, and I'm responsible for giving you the word. Wayne's responsible for giving you the word. It's up to you whether you apply it or not. But in the future, some of you will be here and going to great mighty things. Some of you will be gone because you have chosen not to move forward. As I said, this message is to you this morning. What you do with it is between you and God, but it will determine your future. Amen. Praise God, praise God, praise God. So one of the things that I was asking myself and where this message came from is, you know, we read the Word of God, we read books and listen to CDs and stuff, and we know, you know, we have been taught and we have experienced and we have seen, you know, years and years and years of what the new covenant is supposed to look like in our life. Amen? So we are supposed to be full of health. We're supposed to be full of life. We're supposed to be prosperous. We're supposed to be operating in peace and joy and great relationships, and everything's supposed to be wonderful according to the Word of God because of what Jesus did. Not because of who we are, but because of who Jesus is and what he did for us. Amen? We can agree with that? Okay, so, you know, and along with that, you know, we have been talking about the Holy Spirit the past couple months. So along with that, just the new covenant blessings, along with that, we're also supposed to be walking in the power of the Almighty God. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. The most phenomenal miracle that we can imagine is sitting inside of most of us in this room this morning, and it's just there. And absolutely nothing is happening with it. Some of it is because of lack of desire. Some of it is because of ignorance. You know, there's various reasons. But I have come to the point in my life, if I'm not operating in the power of God, if the power of God is not flowing out of me and people around me are experiencing it, what is my point for being here? Why am I here if the power of God is not flowing through me? And you know, the power of God can be manifested in various ways. One of the ways it can be manifested and should be manifested is through love. You know, we should be flowing with love. You know why? Because God is love. We are in Christ. Christ is in us. And so we are just oozing. You know, we're full of love. We're full of the love of God. Not the, oh, you're so wonderful kind of love. No, but I want to help you change your life. I want to help you be successful. I want to help you experience everything God has available for you. That kind of love. Amen. So that's where this message came from. Okay. So if things are not going on in our life, if we are not experiencing what God says belongs to us, according to the Word of God, and I believe this firmly, you don't have to agree with me, but I believe it's based on the Word of God, there's a cause. There's not an excuse. I do not believe things just happen. I do not believe that, our life is led by circumstances. But I don't believe in coincidence. I believe that there's a reason. Why? Because God is a very structured being. And if you look at the way everything is designed and the way that God did everything and does everything, there's a whole lot of structure. It's not like he got up one morning and say, oh, let's make a world. You know. Now, if you look at some animals in Australia, I always figured the animals in Australia, he did those last and had extra parts and put them together. Like, who can explain a platypus? You know, I mean, things like that. But anyhow, that's just my idea of God's sense of humor. But, God is structured. We're living here. We are alive because of laws. And we may not understand the laws, but we are alive today. I am walking because of laws that God set into, that God set into existence. Everything that happens is because God set these laws into existence, and I don't believe we understand or know, most of the laws, that God set into existence, but it's all, things don't just happen. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 2, and I have tons of scripture today, and so they may get some of the references up there, but if you want to study this out, I'm not going to take the time to wait for you to catch up because I just have too many. I don't know how many I'm going to show or talk about this morning, but I would just say write them down, write the references down, and study them out later for yourself, okay? Proverbs chapter 26, verse 2, it says, like a flitting sparrow, like a flying swallow, so a curse without cause will not alight. Well, we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Yes, we have, but that does not mean we are experiencing it. You know, one of these days I'm going to go back and teach from the curse of the law. Because you go back and read it. You go back and read the curses and the blessings, and you decide how much of the blessings are operating in your life and how much of the curse is operating in your life. I did not recognize it. And I just remember one that, years ago when Wayne was in depression, And he would talk about, he didn't want to go to bed at night. He didn't want to get up in the morning. He just, nothing worked. Well, if you go back and look at the curse, there's actually part of the curse that says, this is part of the curse. You don't want to, you're afraid to go to sleep at night. You're afraid to get up in the morning. So look at the curses if you're not operating. See how much the curse you're actually operating with. And because the curse causeless does not come. If the curse is operating in your life, there is a reason for it. Okay. So the title of my message this morning is it sin, is it Satan, or is it something in me? Okay? And I believe all of those are part of it. Now, Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So this message this morning, if you hear condemnation, I'm going to tell you why you hear condemnation this morning. And that is because you're walking according to the flesh, not in the Spirit. When we walk in the Spirit, there is no condemnation. We do not feel condemned. We do not condemn ourselves. No one else can condemn us. We do not take on guilt because God says, when I walk in the Spirit, there is no guilt. There is no condemnation. Now, there may be conviction, but that's totally different. So, once again, there is no condemnation. I am not going to. Anything I speak this morning is not from condemnation. It is the Word of God, and it's for us to look at ourselves and decide, yes, this is me. No, this is not me. And as we see, we can do something about it. God never says, you're a bad person, you're hopeless, forget it, I'm out. No. There's always hope in God. There's always, there's always every day. His mercies are renewed every morning. Every day is a new day. Every minute is a new minute. The past is gone. The old man is dead. So as we live in the now, everything is new. It's over and over again. Next minute, from now, it's new again. It's good news. Good news, good news, good news. Okay, so the first one, is it sin? Sin, what is sin? Well, let's just look at some things about sin. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Why is sin bad? Well, sin is bad because sin brings pain. As we see, even if we stay in sin, it brings death. It may be a slow death, it may be a quick death. But that's one of the reasons, the problems with sin. But the biggest thing about sin is it says it keeps them short of the glory of God. What's the glory of God? Well, part of it is the opinion of God, the life of God, the experience of God. Well, sin keeps me out of that. Not because God says, I don't want to have anything to do with you. You can't come in my presence if you're in sin. I don't believe that anymore. There was a time I may have taught that. I don't believe that. But what it does is if I'm in sin and I know I am not in the Spirit, because if we're walking in the Spirit, we will not sin. You can't do both. Now, we may do some of walking in the Spirit, some sin. I understand that. But in whatever area, if I'm walking in the Spirit, I'm not going to be in sin. But if I'm in sin, I'm not walking in the Spirit, and so I am below the level of life that God has designed for me. That's why God hates sin, because it separates us. Why do you have, in your household, why are arguments bad between husband and wife, or, why between parents and kids? Because what does it do? It takes out the peace and the joy, and it separates people. And that's what, that's why God doesn't want us to be in sin, because it separates us. Okay. Let's see. How do we get into sin? Well, James chapter 1, verses 14, 15. But each one is tempted. Does God tempt us? No. God never tempts us. Temptation comes from us. Because it says, each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. We're walking in the flesh, not walking in the Spirit. We're headed towards sin. Okay, then when desire has conceived, we decide to do it, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. Sin, bad. But sin will stop us from experiencing everything God has for us. As I said, it's not that God says, okay, you're in sin, you can't have this, you can't have that. No, we take ourselves out. God never says, that, okay, when you get your life in order, then come and see me. We as humans, there's different cults and sects and stuff that separate. If someone's in sin, well, okay, what is it called? Shunning. You turn your back on them. You separate. There's times, there's scriptural times when there's certain people you're supposed to separate yourself from, and there's supposed to be certain things that you deal with. But generally, We as the church, we have decided this person's bad, this is a really bad sin. And now it's not just the church, it's America. America has become the most self-righteous, judgmental country imaginable. I mean, just see what's going on and we will go there. But, and it's never me. I am right, and if you just agree with me, everything would be wonderful. That's the attitude of America today. But we have to bring it back to us, individual, me. It's not out there, it's me. And I have to deal with me. Okay, John chapter 1, verse 7 through 9, 1 John 1, 7 through 9, it talks about, if we walk in the light, he's in the light. And then it says, if we confess our sins, so what do we need to do? If we recognize that we are in sin, then we need to confess it. And as we confess it, we receive forgiveness. Amen? And also, it says, I believe there's a level of confession, and I believe there's repentance is, let me see if I can, which scripture is that? 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10, it says, for godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. So there is, you can say, confess a sin, and it can just be, just going through the motions kind of thing. But when we get to godly sorrow brings repentance, true repentance is, repentance is simply changing your mind. You know that. But true repentance is, yes, I'm not just going to go through the motions of, yes, that was a sin, and go back and do it again. No, it's I am not going this way anymore. And it's, sin is anything, if you look at scripture, sin, anything that's not of faith is sin. Him that knows to do good and does it not is sin. So it's not like we're talking about all the biggies, here, but when we're not walking in the Spirit, when we're walking according to how I want to live my life, and God is over here, and I will come and see you, God, if I need anything, that we're all living in sin. Amen. Some sins are more obvious than others, but none of us have arrived. None of us are perfect. And it's only according to what we experience and we see ourselves, who we are in Christ, and experience who we are in Christ, then the sin level goes down. But as long as we're walking in the flesh, as long as we're walking according to how I want to live my life, then I'm going to be in sin. I am going to sin. It's true for all of us. So for me to say, your sin is worse than my sin, and I may be, you know, I may be overeating, you know, I may be turning to food because of, instead of turning to God, and you may be turning to drugs or alcohol or sex or cigarettes or something, but you're worse than I am. Because why? Because mine is acceptable, yours is not. You know, we really have to watch, and I'm speaking to this congregation. We have to watch because I see evidence of people getting into judgment and deciding their sin is worse than my sin. They're sinning. I'm not sinning. We have to look at ourselves. What's God speaking to me? I need to deal with me. I need revival. Everybody needs revival, but I need to focus. I need revival. It's not that Wayne needs revival, not that Wayne needs to change. No, I need to work on me. I need to focus on me. And that's when things change, is when I focus on me. Praise God. So is it sin? Can be sin. You have to look at yourself. Are you in sin? Because what happens is, you know, when we're in sin, what happens is we internalize things, and they don't get dealt with. You know, that's one of the ways that sin brings death. Because we internalize things, maybe it's unforgiveness. Maybe we've made up some kind of a vow. Maybe there's various things, but we internalize it and we never get rid of it until we deal with it. And so, you know, you don't deal with it and you may be doing fine, but 10, 20 years down the road, all of a sudden you have this disease and you wonder where did it come from? Because what you didn't deal with. So sin, unresolved sin, always leads to death. Like I said, it may be now, it may be later, but if we don't operate, you know, deal with sin, it will affect our lives. As I said, the curse causeless does not come. If I have a sickness or disease in my body, there is a reason. And it may not be the obvious sin. There's all sorts of reasons, but I need to recognize there is a reason this is here, especially if I'm praying for it and it's not going away, or if someone else is praying for it and it's not going away, whatever it is. Then I need to look at myself, and that's what I said. This is why we're focusing on prayer in September. We'll talk more about the prayer part next week. Because I don't want anything that's not of God in my life anymore. And whatever I have to deal with, whatever I have to, you know, get rid of, whatever I have to change, I want to do that because I want to experience life as God says is available to me. That's why we're here. How are we going to affect the world around us if we are not showing the goodness of God, the love of God, the power of God? You know, religion has been doing it their way for years and years and years. And look, the church is just dwindling, dwindling, dwindling because there's no power of God in manifestation in most of the church. Praise God, praise God. So is it Satan? Well, the thing we need to decide, and if you don't agree with this, then this is, you can have your own doctrine. But as far as I'm concerned, Satan's been defeated. And we say we know that, but do I actually believe that? Let's see here. 1 John 3, 8 and 9. Well, I'm going to, the end of verse 8. It talks about, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. It's, you know, a lot of the church would say, yes, that's true, but Satan is still a major belief in a lot of the church. Satan's causing my problems. Now, true, Satan is at the root of all sin, of all everything evil, everything bad. Satan is at the root of it. But I don't get to blame him for everything that's not right in my life because it's not Satan's problem, it's me. If I'm walking in the Spirit, then Satan is not a problem in my life. You know, if what does the word say? Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he flees. I don't have to go and fight Satan to resist him. I focus on God, on praising God, on worshiping God, on thanking God. That's how I resist the devil, is I'm experiencing and in love with God, and just, you know, that is my focus. Satan, he can do whatever he wants, but I'm oblivious to what he's even trying. Too much of the church focuses on Satan. As I said, he could be your issue. I'm not ruling that out. but we need to look at it from the scripture perspective, not from the religious perspective. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 says, "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." You know, a lot of people, they live their life in fear of death. It's not an obvious fear of death, but the decisions that they make is because of fear. And the end is death. That's the final. So it's the fear. So it's bondage. It's, you know, when you live your life and it's, you're always afraid of what's going to happen or, you know, what's going to go wrong. And, you know, at the root of that is that fear of death. But it says here Jesus came, he defeated Satan. That's why he went to hell. He defeated Satan. Satan does not have any power in our lives unless we give him that power. Colossians 2:15, "Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it." And I was reading somebody's book about this, and how they described it was, you know, in Bible times when they would go out to war and they would win a battle, is they would take the king or whoever was the leader, and they would, you know, they would not just kill him, they would like chop his head off. You know, and then they would parade through the streets with this, you know, all their captives and, you know, as I said, they carried the king's head or whoever it was. And, you know, show he's not just, you know, we just didn't win a battle. No, he's defeated. He will never bother us again. It's over. We have won. He has done, you know, made a public spectacle. They did parades and the whole deal to show everybody we don't have to be afraid of this enemy anymore because he has no power anymore. That's what Jesus did. It's not, okay, I've got to make all my confessions. Oh, if I didn't pray, if I didn't go to church, if I didn't tithe, Satan's going to get me. And we were that, we taught in that direction in the past. I know we did. You know, you got to do it right because Satan's going to get you. No. Satan has no power in my life. No, I don't have to be afraid of him. Now, I will tell you, Christians can have demons. Yes. I've been there. Been delivered. But I do not believe, generally, that for me to deal, if I know that a Christian has a demon, I don't believe, I am not going to go and did this in the past with people, and okay, we're going to pray, and we're going to, you know, get a group of people, and we're going to pray for this people, and we're going to speak to Satan, and we're going to cast him out, and we're going to spend hours and hours, and we're going to have the buckets available so, you know, if they can throw up, and we're going to, you know, and I spent days with people. And didn't see big change. Didn't see much any change. But I firmly believe, and this is partly based on my personal experience, but I firmly believe that as I move toward God, if I have a demonic spirit that is in me for whatever reason, as I move toward God and I deal with, because the only reason that you can have a demon is because somehow they have the right to be in you. Is it curse cause us will not come? So it may be have something you did. It could be something your parents did. It could be something from past generations that got carried through to you. So I'm not saying that you did something wrong if you have a demonic spirit. But I firmly believe that as I focus, I do not have to go to Satan to fight him. As I focus on God, once again, and focus on walking in the Spirit, and focus on experiencing who I am in Christ, then he has no right anymore. If it was unforgiveness that allowed him to come in, I deal with the unforgiveness. I don't have to deal with him. He has to go. It's just an automatic thing. Because he has no power. Only if I give it to him. The more I focus on Satan, the more power he has in my life. The more he's going to affect me. Now, as I said, is there a Satan? Yes. Are there demons? Yes. Are they affecting society? Yes. Are they working on the outside, affecting us? Persecution comes from the outside? Yes. Comes through demonic spirits? Yes, yes, yes. But I'm looking in me. I'm focusing on me. The message is about me. And so that's how I believe. If I believe that Satan is my problem, then I believe that's how I'm going to deal with it. Now, I told you a few months ago that I believe the Holy Spirit revealed to us that we were dealing with witchcraft, with things that Wayne was going through. Do I believe it? And what did we do? We took authority over it. And it broke the power just like that. We did not spend days in prayer and fasting and everything. It was just like that. Do I believe that's still a possibility that we may have to do? Yes, I do. But I know in the past, the whole deal, and so many things that I read that are Christian, and they, you know, Satan can cause this, and Satan, and Satan's, and Satan, and I think, why? You guys were word of faith. We started out with you, and now it's all Satan's gonna. Where's my focus gonna be? God does not stop anything from my blessings coming, but if I focus on Satan, I can pretty much guarantee you're gonna stop blessings from coming in your life. Yes. You're gonna slow yourself down. Yes. Okay. The next one is something in me. Is it sin? Is it Satan? Is it something in me? And if you look at it, you know, it all comes back to something in me, yeah. Because if sin is a problem, it's me. If Satan is a problem, it's me. So once again, it all comes back to me. If things are not, if I am not experiencing life as God has it, I need to look at me. And I need to look inside me. You know, not, you know, we're, the, our next chapter in the, our Thursday night book is about addiction. And it talked about the addiction of carnality, which we have never seen it before. But if we look at ourselves, probably pretty much every one of us are addicted to something. And I won't ask for what your addictions are. But one of the things he was bringing out is we get addicted to even good things because we need these things to feel good. It can be diet. It can be exercise. It can be reading the Bible. It can be prayer. It can be going to church. It can be tithing. If you, anytime you need to do something to feel better, and it's not God, then you have the possibility of being addicted. But there's so many things that are acceptable, socially acceptable in the church, that those addictions, nobody talks about them as addictions because I feel better. I feel good. You know, this is, it makes me feel good. And there's not anything wrong with that, but only you can look at yourself and be honest with yourself and find out, do I need to do this to be okay? Do I need to do this to be at peace? Do I need to do this to be in joy? Or am I doing this to get the feeling? Only you can answer it for you. Praise God. So, in my heart, something in me, something in my beliefs. We were just listening to a CD, and he made these statements, and it just, when I heard it the first time, I had to repent. He said, something in me. There is no separating your sense of self from your quality of life. Once again, look inside yourself. You are living the life that matches your perception of you. You are creating the income that matches your perception of you. You are living the life. I am living the life that matches my perception of me, that matches your perception of you. So if you are not experiencing, if I am not experiencing life as God says, this is what life's supposed to be. You are righteous. Life as it should be. Life as it was in the Garden of Eden. Life as it is in heaven. Of course, we have Satan around here, but you know, that's the kind of life we're supposed to be looking at. It's not, we're not survivors. We're victorious. So why do we, you know, why do come on Sunday morning services and it's like, blah, blah, blah. You know, you have three people praising God and two people getting excited about that revival song. Oh, life is hard. I'm not judging you. I was there. It was, you know, I don't know how many years ago now, but it's been between probably about 6 or 7 years ago. And I can remember, maybe less than that, but anyhow, I remember I was hopeless. You know, what's that scripture in Proverbs about hope deferred makes the heart sick? Boy, that was me. I was sick at heart. I was, you know, I was hopeless. I had, you know, did everything. You know, there's a song by Mercy Me. How does it go? I didn't sign up for this. Is that how it goes? I did not sign up for this or something about that? There's something along that line. But the line that's in the song is exactly, I said that line to myself. This isn't life. This existing isn't life. And just from this going wrong to that going wrong, you know, this, that, and that. No. But then God opened my eyes to what the Word actually says. And it's been 5 years, and it's been onward and upward. Is everything wonderful? No. Have things still gone wrong? Yes. But I know the answer. I know where I'm going. And I am not going to put up with living like it is. Always. I am content, but I am not satisfied. If God says life should be like this, then I am going to do whatever I am supposed to do, and that is being who God says I am. Then life will change. That is my focus. Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says, but his heart is not from you. So in other words, you know, we're going to look at some scriptures, and you look at yourself and see, are you in any of these scriptures? Because as we think, what is in our heart determines what's in our life. So if you don't like your life, then we change what's in our heart. Okay? Matthew 12, 34, 35. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. Evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. You know, and for me, the connotation of this evil is like evil, you know, bad person, bad things. Excuse me, but looking, you know, studying this and looking it up, evil is more along the line of life, you know, not having life as God says. It's kind of like what a lot of, you know, the church, a lot of us go through, you know, just like I explain, you know, describe my own life. It's like, you know, I go through the motions. I know I'm born again. And someday I'm going to get out of here and go to heaven. But yes, yes, you know. But that's in me. It's in me. I can change the treasure of my heart. Amen. Where it says, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. So it's, you know, look at where you're, you know, you've heard this one before. You know, look at your checkbook. Where do you spend your time? Where do you spend your money? That's where your treasure is. Don't be surprised if your life isn't like you want it, if you look at where you're spending your time and your money. As I said a week or so ago, you know, if your life is all based on your Sunday morning church service, you're in sad shape, because life is not going to get better. This is about a relationship, a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week relationship with the Almighty God. It's not, you know, it's not, I've got to pray more. It's not, I got to read the Bible more. It's not, I got to go to church more. No, I need to tap in and marry the guy that died for me. If you haven't married Jesus yet, well, go have a ceremony. And I know it's hard to get your mind around it, but we're supposed to be at the point, and the relationship is supposed to be like a marriage relationship. It's supposed to be that intimate as a sexual relationship. And I know that your mind can go tilt when you know, think of the variations of that. But it's that intimacy. It's that's what we're after. If we want life as God has it, that's what we need to experience. Praise God. Matthew 15:18, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. So, you know, you think, well, I'm doing everything right. You know, I'm, you know, well, what's coming out of your mouth? And not when you're talking to Wayne and I. What's coming out of your mouth when you're at home? When you're in the car? That's, I know for me, that, yes. I always know, you know, I'm not under stress. I'm not under stress until I get in the car. And the Holy Spirit shows me very quickly, yes, you are stressed out. And I can, you know, I can suppress it, but that's usually for me, that exposes myself to myself, okay? So, and every one of you have that too. It may not be in the car, maybe something else. But we're not dealing with stress. How does Richard say? There's a lack in our life. When we recognize, when we see that there's lack, then we turn to things that aren't God. And until we turn to God all the time, then there's going to be, you know, some of the stuff that we're talking about this morning. But if I have to turn to medication, and I'm not judging, I'm not putting anybody down, if I need to turn to alcohol, if I need to turn to sex, if I need to turn to the internet, if I need to turn to TV, whatever, if I am turning to anything other than God, I've got something in my heart I need to deal with. Am I saying any of that stuff is wrong? No. Once again, be honest with yourself. Don't pretend you're somewhere that you're not. Be honest with yourself and God. This is where I am. You know, I recognized this a few months ago with, you know, so many things that we were have been dealing with Wayne going through this year. And recognizing this is where we are. It's not where we're supposed to be. It's not where we want to be. But this is where we are. And we need to deal with life where we are. I do not look at that as a bad confession, but this is where we are. You go to the doctor, you tell him, this is what we're dealing with. Is this what we're supposed to? No, but I don't need to, if this, and understand where I'm coming from. I don't need to preach to the doctor. I don't need to pretend that I'm not dealing with what I'm doing. What? The point, don't go to the doctor then. If you're not going to tell him what's wrong with you, don't bother going to him. But recognize, this is where we are. But we're not going to stay here. It's one thing to, you know, this is where we are, but I'm not staying here. I am not going to spend the rest of my life here. I am moving onward and upward. And I may have setbacks. Yes, I've had setbacks. All of you, you've had setbacks. That does not mean, don't condemn yourself because you have, I've passed that stage. I went through the stage where, you know, moving forward, yes, and then having setback, and then still going through the condemnation and, But I've gotten past that point. Yeah, I've gotten past it because this is where I started. You know, when things went wrong, okay, you're a failure. You mess it up every time. You're a failure. Yeah. I'm past that one. Now I still have setbacks, but I recognize, okay, and we move forward. We're not down as, you know, don't go down as long as I'm moving forward. It may be just an hour, it may be a day, but no more, it's no longer weeks. It's no more spewing all this negativity to Wayne or anybody around me. It's just keep my mouth shut. Do I do it every time? No. But most of the time, I keep my mouth shut. And even now, I may be going through it. I keep my mouth shut. See, that's one of the things. That's a step. Because it says out of that, what's in the heart comes out of the mouth. Well, at least if I can stop it coming out of the mouth, at least I know I'm making progress. But if you just, you know, if you get to the point where I give up, this is too hard. Been there too. But what's the point? If you're just going to give up, then why live? You know, see the report that just came out about this incident in Glenville. The man chose suicide by cop. That's the most, to me, that's the most self-centered thing you could ever imagine. You know, some people can't handle it, so I won't say that. Okay. Praise God. Matthew 13:15. Jesus said, "For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. Lest they should see with their ears and eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them." And I recognize, you know, I was saying to Wayne, you know, I just pulled up the word heart and saw all these scriptures. And I was reading two or three scriptures, and out of context, they spoke to me totally differently. Jesus is talking about the Jews here. And then if you look at Acts 28:27, Paul uses the same scripture. And he's talking about the Jews there. And Paul refers to it, this came from Isaiah. It's all these things that I didn't know about, the scripture before that. But, just because this scripture was spoken to the Jews, it does not mean it does not apply to us. And too much of the church, this is where they are. The hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing. Their eyes they have closed. We choose whether our heart gets hardened. We choose whether we shut our ears when the word's being taught. We choose whether we shut our eyes. You know, and I'm not talking about litter. I'm talking about spiritual hearing, spiritual sight. We choose. And every single one of us is capable of getting in this position. If you are here today and this is where you are, repent. Turn back to God. Get on the right track again. But if you stay here, as revival comes and revival is experienced, you won't be here. You will find a way to say that, you know, they're making fun of it and picking up, because that's the downward spiral. You don't just stay here. It just keeps getting worse and worse, as we see in the book of Ephesians. But is it, the word came forth this morning. Each one of us chooses. God isn't deciding for us. Satan can't, you know, he has no right. We decide. Am I moving forward or am I moving backward? There's no just sitting there. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18. This is in the middle of a section that's all about the soul, but I'm not going to read all of it. I think it's around verse 18. It says, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Their understanding darkened. Things that you saw in the Word of God, things that, spiritual things that you understood, you lose it. You know, the church, the word in our spiritual life, that's whether you use it or you lose it. This is what we're talking about here. Being alienated from the life of God, this is what happens. You're not experienced life as God has it, life as God designed it. This is one of the reasons why you don't. Because you've turned, your heart has become hardened, your understanding is darkened because of the ignorance that is in them, the blindness of their heart. We shut our eyes to what God is speaking. You know, 5 years ago, a set of tapes, CDs were given to me by Robin Hughes, and it was James Richards. And heard that set of CDs, and it was just life. It was just hope. It was what he was teaching was just everything I was looking for. It was, you know, I went through, you know, people that you've been here a long time. I went through deliverance, good Lord, 24 years ago. When I was 40 years old, I went through deliverance. And during that time of going through deliverance, there was a lot of things that I had in my heart inside, but nobody was teaching it, and I couldn't explain it myself. But I know I experienced things. Well, when I got a hold of James Richards' teaching, he was explaining everything that I knew. It was in my heart. I knew it, so it was life to me. And so, you know, as we have gone the past 5 years, we've done several books by James Richards. We've done CDs. We've done classes. And part of the church has tied into it. Part of the church, you know, has part of the congregation has said, yes, I'm going forward to yes, this is it, this is it, and have applied things. Part of the church didn't. Some people have totally turned their back on it. Some people just keep coming to church, but, you know, yeah. Some people think they know what's being talked about, but they don't. But that's what happens when God brings something or someone or a word or, you know, whatever, he exposes us to it, we get to make the decision. Am I going to get a hold of it? Is this based on the Word of God? Am I going to tap into it? Am I going to move forward? Am I going to, you know, apply it? Or am I going to look at it just, well, same old, another message, another CD. Now, if so-and-so was here, I'll go see so-and-so, and I'll listen. Yeah, they're really anointed. I'm going to have so-and-so pray for me. But right here in this church, the Holy Spirit reveals things. I don't care if there's 10 of us here or 200 of us here. The Holy Spirit reveals things when we are open to Him. And if you say, well, I just don't get fed anymore, it's you. If there's no love here, it's you. If I just can't listen to Diana Wayne. They're just same old. It's you. And God will hold you accountable. And your life will show the results. I cannot blame anybody. You cannot blame anybody. It's between God and you. If you want more of God, God will move heaven and hell to get whatever you need to you. I've experienced it too many times. But what's in your heart? Praise God. Matthew 15:8-9. These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandment of men. So much, you know, not so much, but how many doctrines there are being taught in the church, and if you go back and look at it, it's not the word of God. It's what some person, you know, experienced. They base their doctrines out of experience. What is it? Yeah, I'm just thinking of that. Like, God works in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. You know what? That is not in the Bible. God helps those who help themselves. That's not in the Bible. There's a lot of things. There's things that I'm in discussion with myself recently. And what? Why do we do that? Where did that come from? Why don't we pray for offering anymore? We didn't find it in the Bible. That's why we don't pray for offering anymore. Okay. Would it be good to pray over the offering? Sure. Not going to hurt anything. But there's no scripture that says thou must pray for the offering. There's no scripture that says God will only bless people if you pray over the offering. So we have made changes. It's based on the word. You got to go back to the word. If we're wrong, we found out those areas that we were wrong in, we made changes. If we go to the future and we find out, no, we were wrong again, then we will make changes. Because our heart is after God and his power, so his power and anointing will be able to be manifested every time we come together. Okay, so what do we do? Romans 10:10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's just not a salvation scripture. The heart, man, believes unto righteousness. That's one of the first things I need to do. I need to do whatever it takes so that I start believing that I am righteous. Whatever work, you know, what you have to find what works for you. We have talked about meditation now here for years. How many people meditate? It's between you and God. If meditation isn't your thing, you have to find a way. But the word talks about renewing the spirit of your mind in Ephesians, you know. We have to renew our mind. We need to come to the point where we can see ourselves as righteous. We can see our lives as God has designed it. If I'm sick, I can see myself healthy. I'm living like it's not anything I have to do. I don't have to confess to you that I'm healed. Because as I experiencing it, it's just, my life is just going to, I am going to act healed. Whether there's symptoms in my body or not. Between me and God. I don't have to convince you of anything. Because, you know, the other side of this is I don't know what's going on in your heart. You don't know what's going on in my heart. So we cannot look at people around us and say, oh, they're really spiritual. Yes, they're so humble. Yes, they're so loving. Now we may, you know, you understand where I'm coming from. I don't know what's going on inside of you. You may be hiding it from yourself, whatever it is. It doesn't mean it's anything evil or anything. But it, you know, we've talked about this before. Everything that ever happened to us is still within us. It's called cellular memories. Every experience we've ever had, it does not go away. So all those negative experiences, they will affect us for the rest of our lives unless we deal with them. One of the ways to deal with them is recognizing and coming to the point of experiencing, I am righteous. Praise God. Hallelujah. Mark 11:23, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast in the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done. He'll have what he says, whatever he says. It's not that I'm going to say it to Wayne, I'm going to say it to Doreen, I'm going to say it. There's some good to that. I'm not denying that. But until it's in my heart, until I believe in my heart, until I can see it. I can imagine it. I can experience it. And it's not, it's a process. It's not like I've arrived. It's not like anybody's arrived. But this is the process we're going through. And that's when we see it manifest. Our thing is just to be honest with myself and recognize I'm not there yet. Or maybe I am. There's been things in my life, I was there. I spoke it and it happened. I don't care what happened around. I knew it was going to happen. There's other things I'm not there yet. But be honest with yourself. This is where I am. But I'm not going to stay here. Holy Spirit, as you open my eyes, I'm going to deal whatever I have to deal with, and I am going to lean on you. I'm going to trust you that you're going to make it happen. Ephesians 4, 23 and 24, the scriptures, you know this. It says, you put off concerning the former conduct, the old man. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man. You know, we've talked about this. This needs to be a regular thing with us. As often as you need, as often as you experience something contrary to God, we need to put it off. This is not mine. I don't have to put up with this. I don't have to experience this. This is not God. Jesus paid the price for this. And I'm going to put on who I am in Christ. I am putting on love. I'm putting on joy. I'm putting on peace. I'm putting on righteousness. I'm putting on prosperity, wisdom, whatever it is. It's a tool that has been sitting here for thousands of years, and I didn't see it until the last few years. But it's, once again, it's up to me. And then Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So, why do not some people not want to read the word of God? Probably because of this. Because I may see something I don't want to see. But if you really want your life to change, get in the Word of God. How do you renew your spirit of your mind? Only in the Word of God. God has given us tools to get us to the point where we can experience what life as God has it. But it's up to us to do something about it. And it's not a works thing. It's not a legal thing. It's a life thing. Why do I read the Word of God? Because it shows me God. It helps me to fall in love with Him more and more. It helps me to bring the revelation of life as He has it for me. Amen. That's why I read the Word of God. Amen. Not because I have to. Amen. Is it exciting every time I read it? No. But I still do it. I've done it morning and night for years and years. And I know more now than I did then. Am I experiencing it all? No. But if you want to learn about anything, you got to study. Why do we go to school? Praise God. Praise God. Is it sin? Is it Satan? Is it something in me? Only you can decide. Only you can make the journey. And so our first challenge for September, and I know we're part August this week and part September, but our first challenge is, I challenge you to take 1 hour this week, sometime during this week, 1 hour, and just you and God. No, if you have to use music, no music with words, but 1 hour, you and God, and just sit there. If you want to pray in tongues, pray in tongues. If you want to pray, praise and worship, yeah. But mainly, sit there. And I encourage you to have a notebook or tablet with you. Because I guarantee as you sit there after about 10 minutes, maybe sooner, about 10 minutes, well, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. Well, write it down. When you write it down, then you can let it go. It's there for the future. Or God may give you an idea, or God may reveal something to you. Write it down. Just write it down and go back to just sitting in His presence. Does that sound hard? No. All of you that have phones, tell Siri, remind me. I'm supposed to do this week. But just 1 hour, sometime during this week. Some of you may already be doing it. Praise God, hallelujah. But for all of us, spending 1 hour just sitting with God and falling in love. Hallelujah. Let's take some time and focus on him. See what he reveals to us this morning.